Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see you guys this morning. Thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning and be able to preach. This morning we're going to be talking about forgiveness and a fresh start. You know, the beginning of the year is when a lot of people talk about a fresh start. I think the weather decided to get a fresh start. Friday, if you're Facebook friends with Jackie and I on Facebook, we were out up on Big Piney, down by the creek. Caden had on shorts and a t-shirt, and we were playing in the water and having a great time. And then this morning at the farm, it was 19 degrees when I got up. 50-degree temperature swing in a matter of a day and a half. But a fresh start is something we're all looking for, everybody. Whether you're looking for a fresh start in maybe in your workplace, or you want a fresh start in how you talk to your spouse and speak to your spouse, or how you deal with your children, a fresh start is something people are always looking for. Maybe it's a diet. A lot of people, it's funny, we eat like pigs all December, you know, November and December, and then on January 1, brother, there's a line in the sand, and we're gonna change that diet. It's always kind of cracked me up, but I fall into that sometimes too. But this morning we're going to talk about having a fresh start. And the point is we're all looking for a fresh start. Let me give you some backstory on where we're going to be this morning. In John chapter 7, go ahead and turn to John chapter 8. That's where our text will be. It's a very familiar text. But in John chapter 7, what was going on is it was the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus had been there and He'd been teaching in the temple. He'd been teaching every day, and the Pharisees and the leaders in the Sanhedrin, they wanted Him silenced. He was growing a very large following. And so what they did was, the day before, they had sent some soldiers into the temple, some temple soldiers, and they'd sent them in there to go arrest Jesus and shut Him up and bring Him back to them. And the temple soldiers went and they listened to Him. But instead of bringing Jesus back, they were just astounded with His teaching. And they were standing there listening to Jesus teach and looking at all the people listening, and they were scratching their heads going, could this really be the Christ? At least He's a prophet, if nothing else. Could this be the Messiah that we're looking for? And so now it's the next day, and the Pharisees have a new trick up their sleeve. They have a new trap. And they have returned to the temple where once again Jesus is teaching. Let's all stand one more time. John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 2, we're going to read through verse number 11. It says this: So early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and He taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, placing her in the midst. And they said to Him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? And they said this to test Him, that they might have some charge to bring against Him. But Jesus bent down and wrote with His finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask Him, He stood up and said to them, Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more, He bent down and He wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before Him. And Jesus stood up and He said to her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son. Father, we thank You for His example. We thank You for this passage, and we thank You for what it means. And God, I pray that You would hide me behind Your cross, that You would give me preaching grace, Father, this morning, but that You would open the hearts of everyone listening in this place today, but all those listening online as well, Father, that this message would ring loud and clear, that the message of love and forgiveness would be understood. Father, forgive us when we fail You. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. So, forgiveness and a fresh start. Let's take a look at the woman. You've heard this story. You've heard this story preached. Brother Doug preached this same text, I think, early last year. But let's just look at it again, and perhaps we'll end with a little different spin on it. So what do we know about this woman caught in adultery? First, we know she was a sinner. We know she was a sinner. She knew she was a sinner. She knew that the act of adultery was wrong. She knew what the law said about the act of adultery, and she had been caught in the act. We also know that the crowd, those Pharisees who had brought her in there to try to trap Jesus, knew she was a sinner. They had to have known of her sin. We know that Jesus also knew of her sin. Now, this woman's sin was not the issue. Remember, why had they brought her in front of Jesus? They brought her there, the Scripture says, to trap Him, to test Him, to see what He was going to say. But we know that the woman was a sinner. We also know that this particular sin had a very serious penalty, and that penalty was death by stoning. However, the law was extremely strict about the circumstances and the witnesses who had to see this crime. For this woman to have been actually punished by death by stoning, there had to have been two witnesses watching the act. Not watching her go into a man's house or watching a man go into her house. They had to have physically been in the room and seen the act take place. Because of that, this penalty was rarely, if ever, enforced. So, if this penalty was going to be enforced, it had to be a setup. They had to have known what was going on. They had to have known this woman's past, or they had to have sent a man in to make this happen so that the law could have been fulfilled. But where was the man, right? They brought the woman. They didn't bring the man. It was a setup. From the beginning, it was a setup. We know that her accusers were hostile and that they were judgmental. They brought her into the temple. Remember, they brought this woman into the temple while Jesus was teaching. Jesus is sitting down with a crowd around Him and He's teaching. And they brought this woman up, caught in the act of adultery, and threw her down in front of Jesus. And a hostile. They were angry. They had ulterior motives. And they brought her here to Jesus to see what He would do and what He would say. They wanted to know, what's He going to do? Is He going to quote the law? Is He going to cast the first stone? Would He completely ignore them? It didn't really matter what He did. They were looking for something that He would do that would allow them to be able to silence Him and shut Him up. Because His following was, He was gaining way too much ground with the people. And He was teaching things that these guys didn't like. They didn't like it. But what did Jesus do? They came in, Lord, Jesus. Not, they didn't say Lord, because they didn't believe He was the Lord. They said, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Moses in the law says we are to stone this kind of a sinner. What do you say? And Jesus just bends down and starts drawing in the dirt. He completely ignored them. He completely ignored. He didn't address what they said. He didn't address what was going on. He just completely ignored what they said. And so they're standing there and they keep berating Him. But the law says, why are you ignoring us? The law says we are to kill this kind of a sinner. We are to stone this kind of a sinner. What do you say? And Jesus is just knelt down, drawn in the dirt. And then He stands up and He makes a one-sentence answer. Picture Christ. There's a crowd around Him. Who knows how many men brought this woman in? There's a crowd. All of His students are there that were listening to Him teach, and He's drawn in the dirt. He stands up and He looks at him. What do you say? We are to stone this kind of woman. And He looks at him. And He says, okay, whichever one of you has no sin, throw the first stone. And He just bends down and starts drawing the dirt. That's it. That's all He said. And I believe He said it pretty well just like that. Okay. Whoever doesn't have sin among you, throw the first stone. And he went right back to writing. What was he writing in the dirt? Does it matter? Some people say perhaps he was writing the names of the accusers and he was writing their sins out beside him. Maybe. Some people say he was maybe writing the law, you know, where Moses had written that this is a sin punishable by stoning. Some people said he was just doodling. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say what he was writing. The point is he stood up and he said, okay, you who's without sin, cast the first stone. He went right back down to writing. And what does the Scripture say? One by one, all of them, beginning with the oldest. Why with the oldest? Why did the oldest leave first? Because as you get older, you are acutely aware of your sin. The older we get, the more we are familiar with our sin. When you're 20 years old, you think everything you're doing is fine. When you hit close to 50, where I'm at, I know what I am. And I know who I am. I've been that way for too long. And I'm familiar with my sin. So it says, the Scripture says, beginning with the oldest first, they left one by one. Until they were all gone. And so her accuser's gone. Her accuser's gone. Jesus stops writing in the dirt, stands up, and looks at the woman. He looked at her. Can you imagine having the eyes of Jesus actually see you? He looked at her. He didn't look at her with anger. He didn't look at her with hostility. He didn't look at her with judgment. And he could have, but he didn't. He looked at her and extended forgiveness and love. He didn't ask her to explain herself. He didn't ask her to explain why she was doing what she was doing. He didn't ask her, he didn't say to her, you know what the law says. You know, he didn't say any of that. He simply said, where are your accusers? And she said, they're gone. They're gone, Lord. And he said, I don't condemn you either. You can go. And sin no more. And he let her go. And then he went right back to teaching. He said, you're free. You may go. Stop living in this lifestyle, but you may go. And so instead of condemnation, she left forgiven. She was forgiven by Jesus for this heinous sin that she had committed and had been caught. Whether it was a trap or not, she had been caught red-handed and she had been forgiven by Christ. She knew who she had been, but Jesus changed that. Have you ever thought about that? She knew who she had been, but Jesus changed that. Jesus said, I forgive you. Go sin no more. I forgive you. I know who you are. I know who you were. I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Jesus showed her love and forgiveness. And she knew that she didn't deserve it. And when she left Jesus, she had the opportunity to start over. To begin again. She had a chance for a fresh start. For a fresh start. It's interesting. Her past was still there. The fact that she was an adulteress was still there. But she had been forgiven for it. Jesus, now understand people, Jesus didn't dismiss her and pat her on the head and say, oh, it's okay, honey. We know. Everybody does it. It's okay. And just blow off her sin. He didn't dismiss her sin. He forgave her sin. He forgave it. And it was nullified. And she had the chance to start over. He drew a line in the sand and said, go and sin no more. You are forgiven. But for her to receive this forgiveness, she had to trust the one who had given it. Her past was still her past, but it was in her past. Man, that is something that's so hard for us to deal with, isn't it? What we've done in the past, in our sin. But when Jesus forgives sin, it's in the past. It's gone. We still hang on to it. And a lot of people who knew us when we were those people still hang on to it. But when Jesus says, you're forgiven, go and sin no more. The sin is gone. It is cast as far as the east is from the west. It is gone. Her past was in her past. And she had the opportunity to begin to walk in a new life and to do something new, to start over, to start afresh, to start a new lifestyle. The old lifestyle was bad, but it had been forgiven and it was done. And she had a choice to make. She had a choice to make. And so her accusers are gone. Perhaps now even the woman is gone. Jesus turns back to those who He had been teaching, and He begins teaching again. And He says this. He says this verse, chapter 8, verse 12. And so again Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Understand, that verse applies to what we just saw. That verse applies to this woman. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and those who choose to follow Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This woman had the chance for a fresh start and a choice, and she could choose to continue to walk in darkness and go back to that old lifestyle, or she could choose to walk in the light of the forgiveness that she had just received and start afresh and start over and start new and live a life that had the light of life in her heart. She had that opportunity. So what's the application for us? You know, Brother Doug asked me to preach a couple weeks ago, and I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go. And the day after Christmas, I still hadn't come up with anything, and I went to see Mom and Dad, and I was sitting on a deer stand. And it was 70 degrees, and there were no deer at all. None. But God gave me this sermon in about 15 minutes, and I typed it all up on my phone in a deer stand. And here's what the Lord said. "Michael, somebody's going to listen to this that needs to understand that I love them and that I offer forgiveness." So let's talk about what the application is. The application is this. Jesus is the light. And that light exposes our sin. He shines in the darkness and He exposes our sin. Jesus said in verse 12, He said, "I am the light of the world." The fact of the matter is, we are all sinners. Everybody in this room, even Brother Doug, I know because I've known him my whole life, he's a sinner. I love him like a brother, but he's a sinner. So am I, and so are you. And we know we are sinners because when we come into the light of Jesus, that light exposes our sin. It exposes our sin to ourselves, and it exposes our sin to others. But, here's the caveat, we are all sinners, but the light that is Jesus does not condemn us, it frees us. It frees us from our sin. Jesus didn't shine the light to condemn you. Jesus shined the light to free you from the bondage of sin. And in John chapter 12, verse 46, He said this. He said, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in Me may not remain in darkness." Jesus frees us so that we can walk in the light of life. It's like this. Imagine Jesus coming into your home. We had some friends over for New Year's Day. We like to play cards on New Year's Day. And so we spent a lot of New Year's Day playing cards, which means we spent a lot of New Year's Eve cleaning the house. Because we had friends coming over. But we didn't clean the whole house. The kitchen was clean, because that's where we spent most of the time. And the living room was clean. And the front bathroom was clean. But that's it. Don't you walk into Caden's room, and don't go in my room, and stay out of the laundry room, and stay out of Will's room. But those three or four rooms were clean. So it's like Jesus walking into your house, and He's walking down the hall, and He sees these closed doors. Well, what's in here? And Jesus is really bad to do this. He opens the door and flips on the light. And He looks in there and He sees all that mess. But He doesn't condemn you and say, "Ooh, you're a terrible house cleaner. Yeah, what? How can you people live like pigs?" Especially if you'd looked in Caden's room. "How do you live like this?" Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus walks in the room and He flips on the light switch. And here's what Jesus says. if you let me, I can help with this. Now listen to me. We are all sinners. All of us. But Jesus wants to help. He died to help. He says, He flips those light switches on. And the more you know Him and the closer you get to Him, the farther down that hallway of your life He goes. And He just keeps flipping on switches. And eventually He gets to the master bathroom. Nobody's supposed to go in there. Jesus flips it all on. And He says, if you let me, I'll help. If you let me, I can clean this up. That's who our God is. He exposes our sin, but He doesn't do it to judge us. He does it. He exposes our sin so that we understand who we are, so that He can extend forgiveness. That's what mercy and grace is all about. That's what it means. And that's why He died on the cross, paying a debt that He didn't owe for you and for me. Offering to clean up a mess that He didn't make. Have you ever cleaned up a mess that you didn't make for your kids? If you still have children in your house, the answer is yes, and you do it all the time, almost on a daily basis. And think of it like this: Jesus loves us, and we are His children. We are His creation, and He wants to clean up our messes because He cares so much about you. So the question is this. The question is not, are you a sinner? And do you need God in your life to help you? That's given. The question is, which of these sinners in this story are you? Who are you? Are you a part of the crowd? Because make no mistake, they were sinners. This is the description of the crowd. They were judgmental, even hostile. They were looking down their nose at this woman while completely ignoring the sin in their own lives. So are you that sinner? Isn't it easy to become that person? To become judgmental? I go to church on Sundays. And some of you even say, well, I go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. And some of you are so holy that you go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And some of you even read the Bible during the week. You are very holy. But man, we can fall into that judgmental category so quick. So fast. And we look at people who are struggling and we judge. That's our first reaction, is we tend to judge. Jesus understands that. He understands that you are oblivious to your own condition. Because we can become so engrossed in who we are and in the goals we are trying to achieve, even if they're good goals, that we become oblivious to the sin in our own lives. Jesus understands that. That's why in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus wrote this, or said this in His Sermon on the Mount. He said, judge not, so that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Verse 3, I love this. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is hanging out of your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye while there is a log hanging out of your eye? You hypocrite. First take the log that is out of your eye, then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Here's what's interesting. Jesus knew the hearts of every one of these accusers that were there. But He didn't condemn them either. Have you thought about that? He didn't condemn the accusers. What did He say? She knows she's a sinner. Okay. Whoever of you doesn't have sin in your life, you go ahead and throw the first stone. That leaves me out. You know, and so one by one they leave. They walk away. Jesus, let's say He sent them away. He sent them away to examine their own sin. And hopefully to come back to Him. But Jesus did not judge those guys. He did not judge the crowd. Or perhaps you're the sinner, or you're the woman. Perhaps you have had your sin exposed publicly. Or perhaps you're just walking daily in the shame of that sin. I want you to understand, you're not alone. In the book of Romans, Paul wrote, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of them. But then in Romans 5:8, he said, but God showed His love for us in this, that even while we were sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The forgiveness of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God gave us the gift of life, free gift, and all we have to do is accept it. So who are you? Have you been walking in darkness? How's that working out for you? Anybody ever spend a little time walking in darkness of sin? You don't have to raise your hands, because the answer is yes. Yes. How's that working out? It doesn't. It feels terrible. But it hurts when the lights come on. When you've been living in darkness for a while and you flip those lights on, that's sin realization. That hurts. That hurts. But if you don't turn the lights on, you can't see the Master extending His hand, offering forgiveness. Listen, people, I'm not here to turn the lights on in anybody's sin and anybody's life in this place or on that camera, wherever you might be listening today. But I want you to know Jesus is. Jesus is here to turn the lights on, but He's here to forgive you. And He loves you, and He wants you to love Him. The good news today is that Jesus is ready and willing to forgive you, and He is ready with a new start. I cannot imagine this woman. Now, this is a pretty horrific picture here. This woman comes before Jesus. Remember, they took her from the very act of adultery, humiliated her, dragging her through town, and then threw her down in the temple, in the holiest place in the city. They threw her down in front of Jesus. And yet Jesus did not forgive. He said, I don't forgive you. Jesus did not accuse her. He said, I don't accuse you. He said, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. I cannot imagine the joy that that lady had the opportunity to leave that place with. Perhaps a joy and a release that she had not experienced in her whole life. God wants to offer you that same thing today. Whoever you are, whether you are part of the crowd or whether you are the sinner who has been caught, I want you to understand that Jesus is here to offer you a fresh start. He is here to cleanse you. We know the Scripture says that He is faithful and just to forgive those who will call on His name and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. He desires to know you. Will you let Him today? Whoever you are and whatever sin you are in your life, as Brother Dale prepares and comes, will you let Him forgive you today? Will you let Him forgive you today? Whether you are the sinner who knows your sin very well, or whether you are the self-righteous hypocrite who has forgotten your sin, will you let Him forgive you today? He wants to. All you have to do is call on Him and ask Him to do it, and He will do it. And you have the opportunity today, on January the 2nd of 2022, to draw a line in the sand and say, beginning today, I'm going on a diet. No. Beginning today, I'm going to stop that sinful lifestyle. And I'm going to walk in the light of my Savior, the light of the world who died on the cross for me. Will you let Him today? Would you ask Him? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You so much. I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for the perfect example that He was of who we need to be. Father, a forgiving and a loving and a caring people, a loving and a caring and a forgiving church. Father, I thank You for that example that Jesus was and that Jesus is. Father, I pray for everyone who is in this room and everyone listening online today. Father, I pray that those who need that forgiveness, Father, who are acutely, suddenly, perhaps, aware of their sin, Father, I pray that they would call out to You today, whether they come down this altar or not. Father, I pray that they would call out today to You and start 2022 in a new way, with a new vision and a new life, and a fresh start. God, may the joy of that forgiveness fill us up, and may we understand how much You love us and care for us. And may we desire to walk according to Your Word, not out of regulation, but out of love for You who first loved us in the way that You did. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who needs to make a commitment to You, that they would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother David.